if you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I guess I want to start reading in verse 12. That's what I got wrote down here. John chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And I'm just going to stop right there. I know it continues on. But what I want to try and speak today about is, ye've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And ordained you. Because he didn't stop there. That you should go forth, you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now these are the words of Jesus Christ to his disciples. Judas is gone. He left in chapter 13, I believe. So Judas is gone. This is Christ and his disciples after the Last Supper. These are some of his words to them. Now, the word translated chosen here, and I wrote this down in phonetics, ekleg-om-ahi. It means to select. That's what it means. To make choice, to choose, or it means chosen, which is what it was translated. It's amazing how that works out correctly sometimes. That was sarcasm. This is the truth of God spoken by the word of God to his disciples. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. What Christ has described in this verse is the way and the order of choice. And I think he made it clear, but that doesn't stop man from trying to muddy up the water with his big feet. Yeah. Because this is a big bone of contention for everyone who doesn't believe in the sovereignty of God. Amen. Who does not believe a sovereign God. Yeah. Who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a big bone of contention. The religious societies of this day like to focus on man's choice, not God's. God chose everybody, don't you know? Everybody knows that. And what did I tell you about when everybody knows something? It's usually wrong. And this is no exception. This is wrong. Now, there are those, and I must partially agree with them, who would like to narrow this. They like to narrow it down, saying, well, this means his apostles. Well, it did mean his apostles. Sure. It did mean his disciples, though. He did choose his apostles. His apostles didn't choose him. And that is exactly contrary to the way it used to work, and actually, to be effective about it, to be truthful about it, the way it works now. In those days, if you wanted to be a disciple, you sought out a master. And that's basically the way it still is today. In religious, in philosophical, and nowadays especially in scientific. If there's a big scientist whose specialty is Jupiter or whatever, or his specialty is, what do they call that thing, string theory? There are people, students, young people, who will go to that man and try to get a job as an intern, unpaid, whatever, to hang out with this guy and to learn from him. That's the standard way. That's the way it was. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel didn't go looking for Paul. Paul went and sat there because he wanted to learn. Christ is starting here telling, you didn't choose me. I chose you. That's exactly the opposite of the way the world has it done. Big shock. Big shock. Jesus Christ doesn't operate the way the world does. And he still doesn't. He still doesn't. Jesus Christ chose his apostles. They didn't choose him. But they didn't immediately become apostles. No. He chose them as disciples. And he told them what? Follow me. Amen. Now, if you want to narrow that down to apostles, you're leaving out a big chunk of stuff. Because the Good Shepherd says to every one of his sheep, he calls them by name, and they follow him. This is true of every child of God. And you want to know how you can know it's true? Because the people who will tell you that this is just the choice of apostles, this is just the choice of apostles. Well, you look at the verses above where it says, you must love one another. Well, that's not just apostles. Well, that's everybody. It is every one of his sheep that he has called out. And they seem to have a mix-up here. The other problem I have with that, as far as narrowing it just to disciples, he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. This is not talking about the calling. This is talking about the choice.
Right,
the selection. Mm-hmm. The election. Mm-hmm. Since I have to use the word today. Sorry, Walter. It's okay. But like I said, this is a big bone of contention because the world wants nothing more than to proclaim man's choice is the one that matters. Mm-hmm. And they will go to great lengths to wrest the scriptures to their own destruction to teach that. They'll do it. And it fills our airwaves and religious societies, and it fills literature, and it fills television, and it fills movies. I can't talk about this as far as what the world thinks about man's choice without, I'm gonna have to bring up Harry Potter. I'm sorry. The second movie, the end of the very second movie, this is when Harry Potter's still a little fella. Little Harry Potter's at the very end, and he's worried. Now, he defeated, set back whatever, his big bad villain. And he's talking to the headmaster, the guy with the big white beard, Dumbledore. Yeah, I know. Where else in Sovereign Grace churches are you going to hear the word Dumbledore? Okay. But anyhow, poor little Harry's worried, and he's talking to his headmaster, and he's worried because he thinks that he is too much like the bad guy. And the headmaster says, well, Harry, you are. You are too much. You are very similar to the bad guy. makes the difference, Harry, is the choices you've made. That's the way the world thinks. That's the way the world thinks. The whole thing was Star Wars and the Force. You can use the Force for good, you can use the Force for evil. It all depends on your choice. Jesus Christ said here, said it right here to his disciples, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. It's his choice that matters. I'm not saying there isn't a choice for the child of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that. But I know why that call is made. It's because of his choice. But the world will fight over this. They will deny it while proclaiming that they uphold the Bible in its fullest. And they will limit this as much as they possibly can. Christ chose. Man did not choose. And anything that a man does that is of any value stems from Christ's choice. From Christ choosing. Now, election is not salvation, but it is unto salvation. That's not the way the world wants to see it. They cannot admit that Christ's choice came first, and they will not admit that Christ's choice came first. Because if the world's religious societies would admit to this, it makes a problem for the foundation of their religion. Free will. Their foundation is their own so-called free will. And they can't deny that, because if they did, their whole house of cards would fall down. Or their house of sand. The way that Christ describes it here is the opposite of the way the world thinks everything works. This world thinks that everything revolves around man. And it doesn't. We have been accused of trying to divide people, among other things. Let's just put it that way. But there has always been a division. There has always been a division. And that division is because of God's choice. All we do, if it happens, is help manifest that division. I wanted to look at this because I just saw this the other day. If you would, look at Genesis 1:1. Well, actually, it's going to be 1:3, but it ain't going to hurt to read Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. I can tell you who said that. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word said, let there be light. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. The speaking part of the triune God. Yeah. If you will. The Logos. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light. that it was good. And look at this. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The very first day of creation, there was a division made between light and darkness. The very first day. God divided the light from the darkness. Why? They don't belong together. They don't belong together. Walter, these two things don't mix. Light and darkness do not mix. They're what's called opposites. Because in the darkness, there is no light. And in the light, there is no darkness. The old thing about where does the light go? Earl used to say, where does the darkness go when you turn on the light? They don't mix. They don't mix. God said he saw the light and it was good. What did he say about the darkness? He didn't say nothing. And when did this happen? In the beginning. The very first chapter, the very first day, God made a division. Christ said he came into this world to show that there is a division. He didn't say he came to start a division. The division was already there. Jesus Christ came into this world in the flesh to manifest who this division is about. It's about him. Luke 12:51 put it this way, think ye that I am come to give peace in the earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. John 7:43 had it this way, so there was a division among the people because of him. Because of him. Y'all believe that sort of thing? Yeah. Sure do. Every day. Then John in chapter 10, verse 19 clarifies it just a little more. Says there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. Christ's words showed the division between God and man. And they hated him for it. The world hated him for it. These religious Jews hated him for us. Christ's words did not cause this division, because that division had always been there. It's the same division as between light and darkness. And I wrote this down, and I think this would be a wonderful thing to put up on a sign out in front of us, if we had one of them signs where you could put up sayings. As long as nothing is said, there will be no division. That's the motto of most Christianity today. I've been told that. Walter's been told that. I know that's in that Bible, but I can't preach it. If I did, it'd split the church. Maybe it needs to be split. Right. But if nothing is said, guess what? There won't be any division. Yeah. But Jesus Christ came to this world and he preached. He proclaimed what the Father wanted him to proclaim. And it showed forth the division. Whether they wanted it or not, the division was there. And Christ's words made it manifest. because people will react to the truth when they hear it. To some, it's the savor of life unto life. To others, it's the savor of death unto death. Some will love it. Some will hate it. Some will hate it. Some will love it. Why? Because there is a division. Christ said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." Now, I like the way this verse is translated in Young's literal translation. It says, "Ye did not choose out me, but I chose out you and did appoint you, that ye might go away and might bear fruit, and your fruit might remain, that whatever ye may ask of the Father in my name, he may give you." This is a flat statement from Christ. You didn't choose me. It's not a question. He's not asking, why didn't you choose me? It was a flat statement of fact. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. That's the who, and who does the choosing is Jesus Christ. Now, as far as the when was the choosing, this is where we also have a bone of contention with the world. Well, they have one with us. I don't have no fight. I believe what the scripture says. If you want to argue, I can argue. It probably won't do either one of us any good, although sometimes I do enjoy a good argument. Because sometimes you have a battle of wits with unarmed opponents. Well, preacher said. I don't care what preacher said. What's the book say? Christ said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." I believe that because I believe him. But the world says this choice is made now. I mean, I've been there. Religious societies of this day and of every day, they say, well, God chooses now when you choose him. And that's the order they put it in. The exact opposite of what Jesus Christ said. The world doesn't understand the scriptures. Therefore, the world does not like what the Bible says. Therefore, the world is what's called wrong. Terribly, horribly, irrevocably wrong. The world is what we were chosen out of. You didn't choose me out, I chose you out. That's why I like that, the way it's written. We are chosen out of the world. Those in the world will never be right, and that's their problem. Because the scriptures tell us plainly when this choice was made. So this is what the world, religious people, have this, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." They want to read that and understand that as saying, "Ye have not called me, I have called you." Well, he's not talking about the calling here. He's talking about the election, the choosing. And the scriptures are very plain. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13 says this, and we quote it a lot, and I'm going to quote it again. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." The choosing that Christ is speaking about was done from the beginning. Now, what's that mean? Well, let's see. We've got in the beginning God. In the beginning was the Word. Now, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. And now we have God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. The beginning was a busy time. This means that God chose his children from the beginning and gave them to the Son, and the Son will not lose a one of them. That dividing of the light from the darkness is the reality of creation. It really happened. But it also is reference to those who were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. And that happened the first day. From the beginning was before that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I can't read that without reading this. Having predestinated us. God predestinates events. He don't predestinate people. What? Having predestinated us. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The beginning was before the foundation of the world. That's when Christ chose us. We didn't choose him. We weren't even there. We weren't there. Here's what election is. You've heard this mess before. God's voting for you. The devil's voting against you. And you cast the deciding vote. That's a lie. I was not a registered voter when the choice was made. I wasn't in existence when the choice was made. And neither were these apostles, these disciples. The choice was made from before the foundation of the world. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now that word elect there is derived from the word used in John 15. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace and be multiplied. Chosen by Christ, by God. Elect according to the foreknowledge. And I went into that before. That's a foreknowledge is an intimate, complete knowledge of a person, but it is not foreseeing. The Greeks had a word for that, and it's in this book. That's the other argument they'll use. Well, God saw what you would do, and he chose you accordingly. No, God knows all his works from the beginning. All of his works. There is a Greek word which means foreseeing, but this ain't it. It's not it. The other thing from this, the choice of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he has chosen his people and ordained them that you should go and bring forth fruit. And your fruit shall remain. There is a result from the election of God. from the choice. I liked what Bruce Crabtree said last week. You know, everybody's saying do, do, do. The gospel says done. And it's right. Redemption is done. Salvation has been accomplished. I like what that fellow said at the temple when he saw the infant Jesus, 8 days old, come to be served. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation is a person. Redemption has been accomplished. But we will, if we are chosen by the living God in His Son, that choosing is unto election. I mean, unto salvation. And because of that salvation, we will bear fruit. Now, it won't be exactly the fruit the world's looking for, because they don't know anything about love, joy, or peace. Patience, meekness, long-suffering. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. We will have these results. And if you don't have them, if we don't love one another, we need to make our calling and election sure. Because that's His commandment. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love for Christ and love for your brethren, which He has called friends, because He has told us everything more than we can handle that the Father has told Him. And we have it here in written form. The truth of God, the Word of God. And by His grace, His people will receive it and believe it and love it and love one another as He loved us. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. Lord, thank You for all that You have done. And Lord, thank You for all that You are doing. And thank You for all You're going to do. We have You, our Lord Jesus Christ, as our hope. And a hope of life eternal. A hope of life from the dead. And a hope for the life to come. Thank You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.